It's time for Peeking Inside the Grapevine with Jimmy the Greek Yacht.
Well, thank you, Sam Sears, and good morning, everyone. My guest today is going to be our in-house professor, Mr. Bill Spruill. We're going to talk a little NHL hockey, talk about a little bit about Golden Tempo and trainer Sherry DeVore. And also, Bill has a fascinating story about baseball in D-Day, going back to the Canadian and United States military. Thursday, the good captain, Captain Lou Gamelin, will be with us. And also, next week, Lou will be hosting the show as I'll be in for some medical work. So next Tuesday and Thursday, maybe a little bit longer, Lou will be hosting the show. And those who know Captain Lou, he's a phenomenal radio host, and he has fun with whatever he does. So Peeking Inside the Grapevine will be here next week, but it'll have a little different twist for a short time only, we're hoping. Let's meet our sponsors, then we'll bring in the good professor, your Carfax Advantage dealer, Cuen Automotive, Sharon Avenue in Houlton. Don't be penalized for bad service. Go to Cuen Automotive. Open up some happiness, all your favorite Coke products. Porter's Tire and Auto Repair, Ethel Avenue in Hancock, has a great selection of brand name tires in stock. David Zucri, Century 21 North Country Agency, is an official realtor, Peeking Inside the Grapevine, 281-1846. For all your embroidery, silk screening necessities, team or company shirts, personal apparel, trophies, banners, everything in between. See Joe or Stacy at Homestead Graphics. Dave's BP Super Service in Hancock, the area's only full-service gas station, open 7 days a week. Dr. Grant Olson, Northland Veterinary Clinic, provides quality care for your family pets for a $2,3400. Q&A Overhead Doors, your Clopay Garage Door Distributor, Copper Country, Sharon Avenue in Houlton. Tim's Excavating and Skidding Services provides all your excavating needs. Licensed septic installer, 370-4370. Saracen Family Dental, 896 Campus Drive in Hancock, offers all aspects of family dentistry for your entire family. Call Dr. Tyler Saracen and his staff, 482-8601. East Fork Pasty Company, serving delicious pasties Saturday and Monday, 11:30 to 2 in Calumet, across from Bucko's Party Store and Rosalita's Bakery. Reserve on Facebook as well. Walk-ups are welcome. 7 out of 10, they do sell out, though. Peterson's Lawn Services, for all your lawn service needs and excavating, 281-7318. Houlton Billings Supply, M26 Brickyard Lane in Houlton, is your authorized True Value store. They've been providing quality build materials, homeowners and contractors all over the Copper Country, 482-0900. For delivery options, give them a call. Tundra Lodge and Resort, Green Bay, Wisconsin, one of the biggest indoor water parks in the Midwest. Daily walk-in water passes available. All kinds of weekly specials, monthly specials, 920-405-8700. Ask for Holly Nichols for the larger get-togethers. You have problems with spiders, ants, fleas, mice, all from the pesky rodents. Contact A-Plus Pest Management, 281-4975. And Uper Fitness, your hometown gym, featuring a wide variety of cardio, free weights, and cable machines. 10,000 square feet inside the Copper Country Mall. Time to bring in a good professor, Bill Spruill. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Hi, good morning, Jimmy. Always pleased to talk to you. I'm actually going to share a story on football, not baseball, in the Second World War.
Oh, did I say baseball?
You had baseball in the intro there, so I'm going to talk football for you.
Okay, well, thanks, Bill. I thought he said, after I said it, I thought I might have said the wrong sport, but thanks for clarifying one of my many mistakes. If that's all I'm going to do today, Bill, we're in good shape, aren't we?
Well, we want to keep your listeners listening. They may be turned off with baseball, so we got a football story and relates a little bit to the D-Day, so it's kind of a nice combination for you this morning.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that story, Bill, but first off, Golden Temple won the Belmont Stakes again. What a neat story with the first female trainer to win two or three Triple Crowns. And sadly, Golden Temple didn't run into Preakness. He could have won the Triple Crown. But how neat of a story is for the down-to-earth trainer, Sherry DeVore. That's pretty cool to watch this, isn't it?
It was really exciting. She's the first woman to win multiple Triple Crown races. Well, she was the first to win this Kentucky Derby, and apparently the second one to win the Belmont. So it's, as you say, they maybe kind of regret. Well, I should have put Golden Temple in the Preakness a couple weeks ago. So But those are the decisions they make.
And just watching her how she acts after out of videos and how she's so compassionate. And I'm a pet lover, Bill. Everyone knows my passion. I'm the guy you see on I-75 moving a turtle off the road. And actually, I moved one off a local road yesterday. But that you can see how much she enjoys and a passion for horses. And when you watch the video clips post-race, as early as even Sunday night dancing neat stuff, it's just neat to see how she's so caring towards, don't forget, these are animals, but you can see the personality this horse has. It's amazing.
Oh, yes. It's always fun to see.
Well, Bill, Stanley Cup playoffs, to say the first three games have been roller coaster would be understatement. I got to admit, I didn't make it through that amazing game three the other night. I mean, good Lord, Vegas 4-0, Carolina looked lifeless, Freddie Anderson fighting the puck. I wake up the next morning, and I'm seeing, oh, well, what did I miss? Was there fight or something? Carolina, four unanswered goals, the force overtime, double overtime. I understand, got to go over around 12:45. Bill, so far, this has all the makings for one of the all-time great Stanley Cup finals. Get ready for game four tonight on ABC, 8 o'clock. Did you make it through that full game the other night, Bill?
No, I didn't. I figured when they were up 4-0, I'll just get up the next day and see what the final score was. So I was surprised when I got up the next day to read it went into double overtime. But exciting series, and boy, the Vegas puts on quite a show at the start of a hockey game.
Well, it's amazing. When we were out there for the Frozen Four, very similar to that, and boy, that's just a fun place to watch a game. That area down there is beautiful as well. But back to the game, Bill, before I get to this fascinating football story involving D-Day and the U.S. and Canadian militaries. When you look at the goaltending here, Hart and Freddie Anderson really haven't stood on their head. They're both getting torched up. I mean, the over-under on most of these games is 3 or 4 goals, maybe 5. Every game's going over 10 goals for the most part. You know our boy Tortorella is going to stick with Hart. I don't know what Brindamore is going to do. I know he likes Freddie Anderson. I'll tell you what, I put Bussy in tonight. What would you do, especially the way he played coming in relief? And this has been Anderson's Achilles heel. Once he wears down in the playoffs, things get a little tender. If you were the coach, we know Tortorella is going to keep Hart in there. What would you do if you were Brindamore with his goaltending tonight, Bill?
Well, I may bring back Anderson. He's been pretty dependable, and we'll see what happens. That's a tough one. That's a tough call, Jimmy. That's why I guess fans are always so knowledgeable. Much more knowledgeable than the coach, so they have all the good ideas. But it could be a tough call. I think they're going to put Anderson back in there tonight.
Well, keep in mind with the fragile mental situation of this, he puts Anderson in, he has a couple bad goals, now he got the hook. Now you're going to lose him for the whole series, but you can ill afford to go down 3-1. I don't care how helter-skelter this is. You're inviting trouble. I got a feeling, Bill, and I know Brendan Moore likes you over guys. I think he's going to go up Bussy tonight. That's just my guess.
Well, we'll see what happens, Jimmy.
Well, Bill, let's get to your fascinating story about D-Day, about football, about the Canadian and U.S. militaries. I got to admit, Bill, like most of your stories, I can't wait to hear this one. I never knew about this. So go ahead, Bill. The floor is all yours for about 11 minutes.
I just discovered this story over the weekend. Fascinating story. Dates back to 1944, and it's in late December of 1943, a Canadian Army Major Dennis Whitaker was in a pub in England with fellow officers, having a few beers, you can imagine, and the troops were feeling intense pressure of training for. Because of the cold weather and what would eventually be the invasion of France. My dad was actually stationed in England at the time in the dental corps, and I remember him talking about this, all the training that was being done, but no one really knew what was going on and what was happening. So anyways, Whitaker was a top quarterback and halfback for Hamilton in the Canadian Football League before the war. And a few in the group were in the pub were officers of the U.S. Army. And after a few beers, the idea of a U.S. versus Canada football team was hatched. And so Whitaker went to the higher-ups, and he thought it would be a great idea, morale builder for the troops, and actually a date was set. The game was held in the White City Stadium in London on February the 13th, 1944. And it was billed as named the T-Bowl. Now, the Canadian team went into training, and they formed, their team was called the Mustangs. And it actually included several former CFL players, Canadian Football League players, that were actually serving in the Canadian Army. So Whitaker was their top quarterback and halfback, and their top running back was a fellow named of Jeff Nicklin. He was from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and their captain of this of the Mustangs was a fellow named George Hees. Now, he actually went on and became a member of Parliament in Canada, and he was a former federal cabinet minister in Canada. But that was some of the CFL players that were on the team. The U.S. team was called the Pirates, and they were made up of players out of the U.S. Army. Well, over 30,000 attended this game. The Spitfires flew overhead because they're on the lookout for German Luftwaffe that may have heard about the game and caused some disruption. The BBC broadcast the game in England, and it was covered by the U.S. Forces network radio throughout the United States. The first half was played with American rules, four downs. The second half was played using Canadian rules, the three downs. The programs for the game included a list of the rules so that the British fans could help them understand what they were seeing on the field, because there's a lot of British spectators were in the stands. The Canadians won the game 16-6, and Jeff Nicklin, he was the running back for Winnipeg. He led the team with a couple of touchdowns. Now, after the game, the U.S. team was a little upset. They thought it was just going to be a one-game series, so they quickly demanded we play a second game. And it took place the following month on March the 19th, 1944. Again, it was played at the White City Stadium in London, and it was dubbed the Coffee Bowl. The U.S. started to recruit a few players that were serving in the military that had college and NFL experience. Again, the American rules were the first half, and the Canadian rules were the second half. Well, over 50,000 attended the second game, and the U.S. team defeated the Canadians 18-0. Now, in that game, some of the stars of the first game didn't play. Whitaker, he'd been promoted, so he... In just that month, so he didn't play. Nicklin, he was afraid of the impact on his training, and he did not play. He suffered a small injury in the training and in the first game. So the U.S. team was led by quarterback Sergeant Tommy Thompson. Now, and the team also included several players from the Iowa Hawkeyes team. Now, Thompson was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles before the war, and after the war, he led the Eagles to the National Football League Championships in 1948 and 1949.
Wow.
Now, I mentioned that there are a couple of players, a couple of Canadian players that later died in World War II, and one of the players was this Jeff Nicklin, the halfback from Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He was the star of the T-Bowl. So he was in a paratrooping group, and he was dropped into France and was tangled up and was shot. Now today, the Canadian Football League trophy for the outstanding rookie is the Nicklin Trophy. the legacy of Dennis Whitaker, he became a brigadier general and was quite a historian, and he really shared the story. So the legacy of the game remains as kind of the camaraderie of the wartime, and many employers that were involved in the D-Day landing were involved in the D-Day landing just a few months later. So it's and just recently a book came out. I'm just reading it now. It's called The Greatest American Football Story That Has Never Been Told. It's a book that just released by Anthony Wooten. So kind of an interesting story for you today, Jimmy, that ties together a little bit of football, Canada-U.S. rivalry, and D-Day.
Well, especially with Canada now, I think the CFL kicked off last weekend or this week. But let me ask you this, Bill. Was there a rubber game, or did it just end out the two-game series?
They just had the two-game series. Because, as you know, you're quite right. Canadian Football League season started this past weekend, and that's maybe another story for us, but it's great history there. But this was kind of a fascinating story I came across, and thought the our listeners would enjoy this one. And they're probably now going to be out on Google searching more about this history of the story, or on Amazon to buy a copy of the book. It's called The Greatest American Football Story That Has Never Been Told, How Gridiron Stopped the War. So it was kind of that was quite a morale booster. There was actually quite a few teams, quite a few kind of informal football teams, different groups played each other along the way. But it's this was kind of a one that was just amazing. And to think of the crowds and the rules, the first half American rules, second half Canadian rules. And so kind of an interesting story to share this morning, Jimmy.
And you mentioned the morale. I can't imagine what it did for the morale of those military staff. Now, you mentioned about some Iowa Hawkeyes who played. Now, I'm guessing everyone who played had to be involved with the military at one point of their lives, correct?
They were all in this. They were all serving in the military during the war. They had these Iowa Hawkeyes and were college players, but they were drafted into the war and were serving in one of the Army divisions. And so, for the Coffrey Bowl, the U.S. Army recruited a few of these people, transferred them around, and got them in for this game. So it was just like the quarterback. He didn't play in the first game, but they found him and recruited him to play in the second game. So great story, Jimmy.
And you mentioned some of these former military personnel and athletes went on to the NFL for a time too, correct? And the CFL probably.
Yes, many of them after the war returned to the CFL or the NFL, and there were actually quite a few players that served in the Second World War that ended up to be stars in the NFL in the 1940s and 1950s. One of the stars was U.S. Marine Corps pilot Captain Jewel Foss. He actually was cited for bravery. It shot down 26 Japanese aircraft, and he went on to become the commissioner of the American Football League in the 60s. So he was the first commissioner of the American Football League when they were competing against the National Football League in the 60s. So lots of different stories of NFL players and others that served in the Second World War and returned to careers in the National Football League, or in Joe's case, led the American Football League for a few years before they merged.
Well, Bill, I know I've told you this before, but you've outdone yourself again with this one. That's a phenomenal story.
It's a fascinating story, Jimmy. It's always fun to find these gems for our listeners.
Well, Bill, I'm going to have Captain Lou with me Thursday, then he's to take over the show for a week or so with my personal situation I'm going through. So me and you are going to take a little bit of hiatus. It's going to be shorter than longer, I hope, but Yeah, a neat story, Bill, and we'll get you back in a couple weeks or so, or maybe the good captain might reach out as well if this is extended, which you don't think it's going to be, but I'm sure by then you get a few more stories in your artillery or arsenal, won't you?
I guess it's quite appropriate to say arsenal or artillery when you're talking about a military story. So, yeah, good luck to you, Jimmy. We'll be touch base with you along the way. So, good luck to you this week, and enjoy the sunshine in the Copper Country.
All right, Bill, and I'm good this week, but the following week you can send out a luck and a care package to St. Mary's in Green Bay, okay?
Okay, Jimmy. Good luck to you wherever you are.
All right, Bill. Thanks a million. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and this Thursday, the good captain, Lou Gamelin, will be with us. We'll talk a variety of sports, and we'll set the table for Lou to host the show the following week as well. We're going to send it back to Sam in the morning. Thanks, Sam.